Hello, everyone. Welcome to the newest edition on the Couch with the Dogs Board. And like always, today we have a very special guest. He is a pro animation critic, a writer, and a 3D model artist. Her name is Faiza, also known as the TVC, also known as the virtual celebrity. But I'll let herself introduce herself the way that she would like to.
Hi, thank you for having me. But yeah, that kind of sums it up. My name is Faiza, born in Nigeria, and I do YouTube, I write, I 3D model, and anything else under the sun, basically.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Faiza. So just to start off, which I know a good portion of our listeners and watchers most likely are going to be people who are subscribed to your YouTube channel and maybe subscribe or follow your other social media. So please tell us how you got started on the YouTube platform.
Okay, so I started on YouTube October 2015. That's the official date on Halloween, because back then people were doing cartoon reviews. It wasn't that big of a deal. Baby Gravity Falls and Steven Universe, and then there was this Steven Universe theory that was just floating around, and I was like, I have thoughts, I don't agree with it, but I had my own opinion on it. So I literally learned how to video edit and do all of that junk just to put my opinion on the internet. And it's so funny to this day because my first ever theory was correct, so I hold that as a badge of honor.
Wow. So how, if you don't mind asking, what was the first set of equipment that you had to, let's say, record and to edit your videos on?
Oh my goodness, there was none. I've said this to so many people who want to start YouTube, saying, oh my god, I need a Blue Yeti microphone, I need the latest computer, sweetheart, you need none of those things. Because I remember the first quote-unquote microphone I bought was those cheap, I think in America is like $5 gaming headphones with like a mic that makes you sound like you're drowning in a toaster. And I said, okay, I sound really terrible with this. Then I thought to myself, I said, my phone has a voice recorder and it was decent. I think, yeah, it was a Samsung or something. And I said, okay, why don't I just record the audio on my phone and see how it matches to this quote unquote microphone I bought online. And my phone's audio was so much better, like miles better. And I think for the first 3 to 4 years of my career, I was just using my phone. I'd record my audio on my phone and send it to my laptop, because I was still in college at the time, the laptop my parents got me. And I'd send the audio over to there, and I'd use, maybe I'd pirate the cheapest, easiest to use editing software. And I just put the pictures together and I'd put the audio on it, and boom, you have a video. I tell people this so much, you need nothing. My channel was running on $0 for the first 3 years of its existence.
Wow. So what was your first video?
Okay, let me bring up stats. I feel like the first ever thing I ever uploaded on my channel was a Nightwing edit or something cringy like that. But I feel the first ever thing I ever uploaded to my channel is not public anymore, because my channel was supposed to be a Wattpad review channel with my friend, but it just never took off. So I took that down. But yeah, my first video 7 years ago is a Nightwing fan edit. Oh my god. But yeah, we don't count those. The first video I classify as mine is the one where I said Pearl was Rose's Pearl, confirmed. That's the first video. Everything else before that was just baby TVC trying on training wheels.
Wow. So with that being said, what would you say was your most successful video, not in terms of views, but the first video that really jumpstart you being able to say that you can make this into a career?
Ironically, it was the first video, because even going back, I'm seeing it has like 17,000 views, and I struggle to even pull those views now. It was just, I posted it and I said, wow, I'm getting a lot of views. And back then, I don't know whether I had like one or two YouTuber friends, just people we talked with, and they were like, "Oh my God, this is really performing well. This is like one of your first videos." Because back then we were like, I was like what, 19, 18, I was still a teenager. And I don't know how I just burst into the Steven Universe scene almost overnight. And I said, wow, I could actually make a career out of talking about cartoons. It was weird. And then I posted another Steven Universe video. It did really well in terms of all the, if you search up, I think Amethyst at the time, my video was the first. Then I made a couple Gravity Falls videos. Oh my God, those popped off too. And I thought, wow, people really give a shit about what I have to say. And ever since then, I just continued talking and people continued to listen. And I don't know, it was just magical for me. To this day, I know I have videos that have cracked like millions of views, but the first videos I ever posted where people genuinely like listened to me, I don't know how to describe it. I don't want to get mushy on main.
Well, again, I know your viewers are happy about your success, and I am as well. But with that being said, because as you know, we both have a mutual person that we know, one of our previous guests who I've interviewed twice, like Parjan, he also, for his YouTube channel, in a way, was jump-started in terms of his view-based success, analytic success, due to his Steven Universe content. So, if you don't mind me asking, how did you come across Black Parjan and who he was in his work essentially?
Basically, everybody I've ever interacted with on YouTube, they just stumbled into my YouTube comment section, because to this day I try my very best to read every single comment I get. And the bigger you grow, the more impossible that seems, but I do try. And I believe he left a comment or something on Twitter and just started talking from there. I believe, again, I have the memory of a goldfish, but most interactions was just, oh, hey, I like this thing. And I replied, oh, hey, sure, that's cool. And then I think he invited me to do something. He has a lot of projects, and I'm sure he's gonna be so pissed that I can't remember the name right now. But he invited me to voice one of the characters in one of his many projects. And I said, yeah, sure. And been friends ever since.
Excellent. I know you actually brought up that you were in college still when you had first started this. And obviously, when it comes to doing any type of career, but especially things within things that are lambasted, like making content surrounding cartoons, especially Western cartoons, would you say that you have gotten support from your family and friends and loved ones, or would you say that they've been indifferent, or have you gotten any pushback, if you don't mind me asking?
I won't say I got pushback, but I wouldn't even say it's indifference. I was the one that kind of kept it from my family because, yeah, when it comes to Western cartoons and stuff like that, especially here in West Africa, you're expected to grow out of your cartoon watching phase. So, me being the person I am, I love cartoons. I'll always love cartoons. So, being a 16-year-old or somebody in college watching maybe the Barbie movie or Teen Titans Go or something like that, I'd get a lot of bombastic side eyes, like, oh my God, you're girl, you're an adult. Why are you watching these cartoons? And I'm like, it's my happy place. And when I found this community online, like a very large community, I'm like, oh my God, wait, people actually care. They don't care if you're like 28 talking about, I don't know, the B movie. They want to hear your opinions. So when my family, when I eventually decided to tell them, my family, like my mom, my dad, and my siblings were like, oh yeah, that checks out, because they know I like cartoons. And my parents, they, God bless their souls, they never want their kids to grow up. Like, yeah, you can still have that kid in you. If you want to watch cartoons, fine, you're not hurting anybody. But when family comes to visit, they're the ones that want to kind of bully you out of this thing. So they don't really know what it is I do. They know I do something with my computer to make money, but they just don't understand it. And I don't want to elect that information to them. I just want them to know, okay, she makes money through the computer, fine. But my family, my core family, they know, okay, I'm a cartoon YouTuber and they're fine with it. So long as it brings in money and I'm not homeless, they're Gucci. And I also have my degree as a backup because I did finish college. I didn't drop out to pursue YouTube.
That is amazing. I know previously we had spoke concerning your family and especially their perception about you being able to make, especially in Nigeria and the economy, you being able to make a pretty good amount of money in comparison to, let's say, most people that may have great jobs there. So if you don't mind me asking, would you say that your parents are in a way proud of you, that you essentially have been able to make a career making, let's say, good money, but especially a career that you're able to make good money, that you are essentially happy with what you're doing?
I don't mean to sound spiteful, but African parents, they're just not proud ever. Don't deceive yourself into ever saying, "Oh, I want my parents to be proud of me." No. Just know you're setting yourself up for failure. But I know my parents, they're just I don't want to say happy. They know they've put me on this path in life and the best they can do is guide me. They have to just when I say live with my choices or accept my choices, because my mom, she is happy or she's okay with the YouTube. She just doesn't know how sustainable it is because, okay, the salary is not fixed. Maybe I had a very good month and I can ball that month, and then she'll see another month where I didn't even make the cutoff and I just don't have money for, like, because of the YouTube payout cycle, it's almost like I'm broke for 2 months at a time. So she doesn't like the instability with it. So she doesn't want to take me away from YouTube, but she's like, okay, have something else, maybe a store or a business or something that can also grow, which ironically is me doing freelance. But she's always just surprised, okay, why is it everything you do is in the digital space? You have nothing concrete in the physical world that we can point to and say this. But for the most part, she's like, okay, so long as you have a plan B, C, E, it's okay. So she's more of a guiding light, even though she doesn't understand this new technological world. She's at least willing to work with you. And if you explain it enough to her, she can be like, okay, I can fill in the gaps. But she would still want something physical. Like maybe I have a store in the real world that would make her feel comfortable. But I plan to do that maybe later down the line just for her own peace of mind. But yeah, I won't say that they're disappointed with what I've become. I think they're more or less just happy that I'm happy and they can just support me where they can.
Well, that is excellent. Very, very, very excellent. So, concerning that, would you say that as a black creator, especially a black female creator, doing what you do in the space that you do, what are some of the challenges that you face or may have faced that, let's say, a non-black creator wouldn't necessarily have to go through?
Well, in terms of being like a black female creator, I don't like saying, "Oh, this person has better opportunities than me because of the color of their skin." I'm just of the mindset of get good, because if you're popular enough or you're good enough, people will come to you. But I have to accept the realities that there are companies and people that would just prefer to work with somebody who's based in the US because let's just say, I think I've only had like two sponsorships in the entirety of my career, and one of them was for a drawing tablet, and the company literally couldn't even send me the product because they're not sure if it would get to me because I live in Nigeria, and they're like, "Oh, what if something happens?" And I don't know if they were trying to say I'd steal it and pretend I didn't get it, or they don't trust the process of it getting to me. So instead of making maybe one video talking about it, I needed to make two to cover the cost. And then I made three because I like to please people. I like to go above and beyond. But even then, they told me they probably never work with me again because of how logistically it was just wasn't viable. And I think the person who even sent it to me got in trouble because they wanted to work with me, but the larger company that doesn't really give a shit about the YouTuber just were like, "Nah." Other companies are just like, "You're not in the US, so we're not sure if you have US viewers." And I'm like, 70 plus percent of my audience is based in the US, but it doesn't matter because I am also not in the US. And I don't know if it's just, I won't say white favoritism, maybe more of a United States favoritism, because a lot of cartoons, a lot of movies, a lot of celebrities, they all are in the US. So a lot of people in the outside sphere, because America is like 15, 30% of the globe, but everyone else in the world just wants to go there, wants to be there, wants to work with people from there. Even if you upload a video, me uploading in Nigeria, it performs worse than if to say I change my VPN and I upload it from Canada, or sorry, not Canada, California. I know there are other people, like there's this Russian YouTuber who has completely changed his IP address to be in the US just to be competitive. And I've also thought about doing that, but it just feels like I don't want to reject my country. But at the same time, I still do feel like it's a matter of get good, because there are a number of Nigerian YouTubers who are popping off. There's Muhammad Agbadi, he does art. Shit, there's another one. He does technology. I'm pretty sure if you see a picture of him, you know him. There's also the ones, and they're more females who do cooking and stuff like that. So it's not impossible to be popular, but I feel like you just have to have so many chips in place, and you just have to be. And I'm also doing cartoons. I forget that fact. There's so many people who come to me. They want to collab or sponsor or something, and then they were like, "Okay, just link us to your channel." And then they see bright colors and cartoon characters, and they'll be like, "Oh my God, you're not a fit for our brand." And I'm like, "But you came to me, what the heck?" So, a lot of challenges, yes, but I just feel like there's a lot of different factors working against me, and I don't want to say, "Oh, it's because I'm a black woman." No, it's because of my location and the kind of content I do that works against me.
Excellent. I know you have a very valid perspective on things concerning your artwork and things that you do. So going into that, especially because of the, say, interesting perception that people have when it comes to cartoons or Western animation, or some people may call it Western anime, because the term anime is just a Japanese colloquialization term for animation. Within the realm of anime or Eastern animation being as poignant in the cultural zeitgeist as it is, have you ever gotten any type of criticism, or have you ever personally felt that many people have tried to steer you in the direction of you covering more Japanese animated IPs with your work?
Well, yeah, I totally feel that, because, well, there's also the fact that my audience knows that they can't control me in any capacity. So I can upload anime content or I can't. But I think the biggest pushback I've ever gotten was when I do my top 10 cartoons of the year. I do it every year, and people see anime inside, and some people get unreasonably angry, like, "Oh my God, why is anime here? Stop putting anime. Anime is not a cartoon." And I'm like, this list is the top 10 animated things I have seen this year, and I'm not gonna put it in a title, oh, Western animation or whatever. It's just cartoons because it's easier to understand for everybody. But apparently, there are people who just, I guess, in their mind, calling an anime a cartoon is sacrilegious, and I don't really care because that's your opinion. At the end of the day, they are animated content. Just because one is drawn in Japan and the other one is drawn in not Japan doesn't change that fact. Hell, I think a lot of Western animation is actually shipped to like Japan and overseas to get animated. So I don't even understand the distinction at this point. But moving on from that, when I cover just standalone like anime episodes, because I think I started to talk about Attack on Titan at a point, but it's super competitive talking about anime on YouTube. Like, you have to be God tier, you have to be doing something different to break out into the anime review community, because it is so saturated. Like, I thought the cartoon review community was full. Just try anime. So I think I just stopped talking about it, not because it wasn't performing well, but because the upload schedule of Attack on Titan at the time was just horrendous. And I wanted to do Assassination Classroom, didn't get around to it. I wanted to talk about a lot of anime, but my audience at the time was mostly, again, USA Western viewers, and they just didn't care. And I wasn't getting like anime viewers to watch. So maybe if I see a movie I like or I saw something I liked, I'd talk about it and I'd move on. But then anime companies in Japan are very vicious with copyright claim. So if I make a video, it just gets blocked maybe after a month or two when the company finds it and they'll be like, huh, we don't like the way how much clips she used in this video, how she talked about it. So it just became a net negative to even talk about anime, which is sad because I like it. I like watching it and I like talking about it, but it's just so many things stack on stack on stack where you can barely get any views, the audience is not interested, and the company doesn't even like you talking about it. So it's just, I think the only animes you can talk about without your videos getting claim are the main popular ones. And even then, I feel like it's a select channels that get maybe the grace to upload and talk about them. But that's just my perspective. I could be wrong.
Well, very well put, because I've personally had a video attacked or taken down in several countries, and I've never gotten it done to that degree to other non-Japanese media videos
Yeah,
before. So I
they're vicious with copyright claims. It's unreal.
right. So I can understand it, and like I said, that's part of the reason why I wanted to get your perspective on that, because I've started to notice that is that it feels that when it comes to not just the nerd space, but that's what we're talking about now. If you don't have a seal of approval from a non-black person or entity or community, then almost like a paradigm shift that does or doesn't happen when it comes to how, let's say, other black people perceive things. Problem is that now is that a lot of people who don't consume Western animation, a lot of people think that is bad, or a lot of it doesn't really have a lot of creativity in comparison to the Eastern counterpart. But it may not be that, it just may be certain projects don't get the marketing budget that others do.
Yeah,
Which may,
it's 100% that.
again, thank you for giving your perspective on that. So earlier you had brought up your freelance. Please explain about that. I know our watchers and listeners would love to hear about that.
Okay, so the freelancing thing is because at the end of the day, my whole YouTube career is supposed to be a hobby. My writing is a hobby, YouTube is a hobby, but the hobby doesn't pay because we live in a capitalistic society. And when I have maybe months that I don't perform as well or I don't do as well because I still like support my family and the people around me, I realize, okay, YouTube is not paying the big bucks. I'm not the top 1% where I can upload a video and that's it. My year's rent is paid. I still have to work to just make, I won't say make ends meet, but just to get more than YouTube is paying out, because I think after the adpocalypse or Adpocalypse 2.0, things have just been getting really bad. And especially for like cartoon YouTubers, we don't get like a lot of AdSense, ad revenue, or I forgot the word right now, but you know, maybe if you're talking about real estate on YouTube, you get paid like $20 for every 1,000 views. If you talk about cars or tech, you get like 10. So for us cartoon reviewers, advertisers are not paying a lot of money to advertise on our videos. Like at the end of the day, I'm grateful, thank God, I'm you're getting paid anything, but we're not getting paid the big bucks, and on top of that, you're not getting the big views. So I thought, okay, I have a certain set of skills that I can advertise. So I just opened a page on Fiverr and I said, hey, you want someone to write stories? I'll write stories. You want someone to voice in your clips or scenes, I can do that. You want 3D animations? Boom, I'm your girl. Yeah, you want topics on YouTube videos? Blah. I just, anything I can do well or a decent amount, I just posted it on there. Because, just, like I told you, how I met Black Pauldron just randomly showed up in my comments and said, hey, can you voice a character for me? I've had so many people say, hey, I like your voice. Can you voice this thing for me? And I'm saying, sure. And I said, okay, fine. If people say my voice is nice enough, and I've been doing this YouTube thing at the time for like 5 or 6 years, I said, why don't I just open a voice acting thing? And then I started getting a lot of voice acting gigs, and I said, huh, maybe this can be a thing I can do, and I can write stories for people because I really like to write. But ironically, I don't offer video editing services because I can barely keep up with my own videos. I cannot throw on other people's videos into the mix. But if a friend needs help with a video or something, I can always do that. But in terms of freelance, those are the things I offer.
I just love hearing people being entrepreneurial in several different ways of their work. But also, your 3D art. I would love to hear more about that, and I know our viewers and listeners would too.
Okay, in terms of 3D, because I've always had this idea of whatever you do, there should be maybe an end goal to it. So when I write, I want it to be so I can publish a book one day. And then it's like, okay, then what's the end goal of YouTube? Because you talk about cartoons, you review cartoons. My end goal is to maybe make a cartoon one day or voice in one or something. I just don't want to just be throwing my opinions out there. I also want to step into the ring, but that path is long and arduous. And I've always liked just the visual medium of art, maybe anything artistic, 2D, 3D, hell, AI. I know that's very controversial, but I just love creating things. And I'm not good at 2D art in any capacity, but I've always been fascinated by 3D because it's more mathematical and I've always been good at math. So I just decided to tinker around with it. And all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, it took like 2 years, but I'm now able to make characters in 3D. I'm able to animate. I'm able to do all these cool things that people would charge hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to get somebody to do. And it's just so cool because I know if I continue down this path, I can create my own 3D characters. I can animate my own thing in that sphere. So even though it's a freelance thing where I'm doing it to try and make money, again, it's just another hobby that generates income, because I'm a very firm believer of do what you love, because you'll never work a day in your life. So I guess maybe that's why my friends just see me as this chill person, because I'm just doing what I love. Either I'm writing my stories on Wattpad, I'm posting a YouTube video screaming about a show, or I'm animating in 3D as I develop my skills and I learn more to further reach this goal down the line. So that's it with 3D, just learning how to make things move, so maybe one day I can make my own cartoons move.
Making your passions and dreams into reality. I know that's something that we all want to do.
Yeah, you have to start one step at a time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So just, I would say, going into the final question or questions, I just want to say this one last thing or ask this. Since we talked so much about animation, what is your favorite animated series of last year?
Oh my God. Well, let's see. I really like Spy X Family. Oh, I love Hell of a Boss. Harley Quinn season 3 was killer. Wait, what's that one? Vox Machina? The Legend of Vox Machina or The Adventures of Vox Machina? I won't say. The thing was, 2022 wasn't a juggernaut in terms of years. Maybe that's why I still haven't gotten my top 10 cartoons of 2022 out yet. I promise I'll get to it. But the years before that, maybe it's because I miss Castlevania, but it's coming out this year, so sneak peek, Castlevania might be number one, my number one for this year. Oh, Invincible too. God, 2023 is killing it. Even my adventures with Superman, I love that. But yeah, 2022 had a lot of good shows, but 2023 seems to be the year to break me in terms of awesomeness. And I feel like even in the anime realm, there's a lot of good shows, but I personally don't like them because they're going towards the gory section. I think I'm even gonna put a disclaimer in my 2022 top 10 cartoons video because I didn't watch Cyberpunk, and I'm not gonna watch Chainsaw Man because that's my limit when it comes to shows, which is ironic because I've watched Tokyo Ghoul and Death Note, and some people can argue those are more gory, but there's just something about Chainsaw Man that unnerves me. Like, I like the story, but just watching it makes me uncomfortable, and I don't know why. Maybe that's the point of the show. And with Cyberpunk, I know the ending is sad, and I don't like sad things. Arcane already broke me, so that's my limit.
Wow, I know the viewers, and especially your viewers who may not have known about you doing those lists, are going to be very interested in the answer. But I just wanted to go ahead and say this one final thing concerning your regular questioning. How I found out about you, I originally had saw and met you in Paul's Discord server during one of his audio sessions that I was just sitting in on listening to in the background. And I didn't realize that you were the same person who made one of the first review videos when the third season of Young Justice premiered. And that's how I knew who you were, since Young Justice season 3 wasn't getting the type of traction as maybe I thought it would have. So when I typed it into YouTube, yours is one of the first videos that came up about it, period.
Yeah, oh my god, Young Justice. Yeah, it came out last year. I think it got canceled again, but we don't talk about that. I'm still living in denial, but I still need to finish Young Justice, the first half of season 3, and then the second half. My god, it's been so many years, but Young Justice holds a special and an unhinged place in my heart. I don't know if I said this already, but the reason why my top 10 cartoons of 2022 got delayed so long was because I wanted to watch Young Justice and rank it in 2022, but I could not find the time to do it and also like review all the episodes that I've missed. Like the time just did not exist, so I kept pushing it back and back and back, and now it's been 8 months and I just have to accept, you know what, Young Justice won't be in the 2022 video, but it can be in 2023 if I work hard enough. So I think that just kind of shows how unreasonable I am with the show, because I delayed this video for so long because of this one thing that I really like.
Well, I know people are looking forward to seeing your ranking and opinions on it. But yes. TVC, yes, ma'am?
Oh, no, I said, yeah, people are looking forward to it almost every week. Where's the video? Where's the video? I'm like, I'm getting to it, I promise.
Right, and I know I'm going to look forward to seeing that as well. But TVC, I'm at the end of my questioning. If you don't mind me asking, do you have anything that you would like to say to me, anything you would like to say to the viewers, anything that you would like to ask me or ask the viewers?
Anything I want to say or anything I want to ask?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just gonna say, enjoy life, live in the moment, don't take things too seriously, drink water, because we're only on this earth for a finite amount of time, and it shouldn't be irritating, it shouldn't be annoying, you shouldn't just be trying to get through the motions. You should have a plan, know what makes you happy, and strive for that, and just, you know, be you, because there's nobody else as unique and beautiful and precious as you are. So put yourself first.
Very well said. But before we close, where can everyone find all of your different social media platforms to follow you and your work?
Well, as we've mentioned, you can find me on YouTube, The Virtual Celebrity. I'm on Twitter, Official TVC, and those are the main ones. I'm going to give you a master link. I think it's Linktree TVC or something. I'll give you, and it's my master link. It links to everything I'm on, my Wattpad, so you can read my stories. You can find my Fiverr if you want to hire me. Hell, I have a merch store if you want to buy something and support, a Patreon. The link will have it all.
Thank you for that. And I know a lot of people are going to be interested in seeing that and going to be interested in having those links and to follow you, especially after this. So for the YouTube version, especially for those listening, the YouTube version is going to have all of those platforms listed on screen as well in description, and is going to most likely be on the non-YouTube version as well if we can get those links working through the descriptions of those. But again, I personally am grateful and appreciative that you have taken the time out to do this interview.
Thank you.
PVC. Yes, and you are very, very welcome again. You helped us make history in several different ways with this interview. So I'm happy about that. And again, I just love interviewing people and expecting what their passions are. And for me, if you're able to make any type of income or any type of resource gain based off of doing something that you legitimately enjoy, that is always something special.
Totally, totally. That is,
yes, ma'am. But if that is it, everyone, again, this interview will be, like always, on our download and streaming platform first. and it will be on YouTube soon after that. So please stay tuned. Again, once this comes out, please follow, or even before, follow the TVC's social media and support her there. And
Yay.
yes, ma'am, please follow and support her there. And we really appreciate this. Like and share it and comment on it once it comes out so it can get to as many masses as possible. But if that is it, everyone, thank you all for listening. Doc and the virtual celebrity signing out.
Bye-bye.